Again, you're listening to KHEN LPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, community supported radio, and we're streamed on the internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And if you'd like to send an email into the program for questions with our guest, our email address is khen.dj@gmail.com, and I'm Melody. And this evening I have two very informed and active guests back. 2 weeks ago we had Dr. Carly and Patrick Jordan on, and we're revisiting the vaccinations and a lot of the things that are going on in the medical arena right now that are very pertinent to events taking place in our world. And I wanted to first say the views expressed on this program are those of myself and are my guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And Patrick and Dr. Carly?
I'm here. Hi, Melody.
Hi. Is the sound any better tonight for you?
Not really, but I'll make do.
Oh, I'm sorry. And it's I don't. Sometimes it's the phones, and sometimes it's a whole other things. And I'm just here to try to do the program.
Well, if we even maintain contact during the show, that's a good thing, because with our subject matter, we've had some interesting experiences, Patrick and I, on other shows we've done. So, as long as we can hear each other enough to understand and for the listeners here, we'll make do.
Okay. Briefly again, I'll let you both kind of give a real brief rundown of your background, and then we'll go ahead and get kind of back to where we kind of left off a couple of weeks ago, and then do a little refreshing on what we did kind of discuss. Dr. Carly, would you like to start?
Okay. I am a medical doctor trained as a surgeon who started investigating vaccines about 12 and a half years ago after my only child was brain damaged by vaccines. And now I'm a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, the only one as far as I know. And my website is drcarley.com, drcarley.com. And on that website I have many documents. It's gotten quite huge, actually. I now have a new song called Just Say No to Vaccines, all kinds of great stuff on there. But one of the latest editions, which I really encourage all of your listeners to check out, is at the top of the page. There's a YouTube video of a show that Patrick and I and Jane Burgermeister and veterinarian Dr. Jordan did on July 11th, which has truly gone viral, about the subject matter we're going to concentrate on tonight, which is the biological weapon that's been created called the swine flu and the vaccine that's going to cause the pandemic. And Patrick had also found two WHO memos from 1972, which prove the intentional genocide, the scientific manipulation of these viruses that they've been working on since 1972. And you can download those articles, as well as the letter that Jane Burgermeister, a journalist from Austria, wrote to Dr. who was Dr. Chan of the World Health Organization, pretty much charging her with intent to commit mass murder. Those things are all on the top of the site, as well as the information on how people can order Patrick's excellent book that I'll let him talk about, but I've got that information on my website as well. And people really need to start, investigating these things, because this could be the difference between life and death. One thing that I'm trying to get people to realize is that they have the right to say no. I don't care what any attorney says. I don't care what the quote-unquote law says. When they start telling you you need to vaccinate yourself with this pandemic vaccine, you have a right to say no, because that could save your life.
Okay, Patrick?
Okay, hi, listeners. I just want to let everybody know that my deprogramming phrase is there is no Santa Claus. I worked in every industry that's available in America, from agriculture to semiconductor fabrication, and was exposed to chemicals throughout my entire professional career. My health deteriorated, and I discovered that medicine and the government, so just like Virchow said in 1847, medicine is politics. Medicine and the government are the same thing. They go hand in hand, and they view us as slave work units, and they're not here to help us, folks. So I had set out on an odyssey to find out what was wrong and how to correct it, and that's where we ended up, is right here. The culmination is a book that took 30 years to put together. It's called ICD-999. That's for the International Classification of Diseases, as defined by our favorite, the military organization, the WHO, World Health Organization. And so my book unknowingly got named after their little system, which, by the way, the ICD-999 code defines all vaccine-induced diseases, which, by definition, folks, if you get my book, you'll soon find out that almost every disease in North America is vaccine-induced.
Now, one thing that I kind of would like to hit on when you make that statement is, now, there were diseases before they had vaccinations, and so can you kind of qualify that a little bit?
Oh, sure, and that's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked that, because even in Dante, that famous poem, Dante's Inferno, you will find, and amusingly enough, people in lower sections of hell were afflicted with diseases, and one of them was dropsy, which is a common term in that era for edema, which was resultant from diabetes. And so people in the 1300s definitely had diabetes, and it can arise from many causes. But what we're looking at right now is an epidemic of diseases, and all of these diseases have a singular cause in the mechanisms of vaccine damage. And I work with Dr. Carley and Dr. Patricia Jordan, who happens to be a veterinary doctor. And we had gone through, and in my book, defined the actual biological mechanisms by which you can disrupt the body to have one single cause lead to heart disease, one single cause lead to diabetes, one single cause lead to just about every single disease we're seeing now. Because, folks, we're ranked 37th in the developed world in terms of health care. We pay nearly $2 trillion on health care. Yet every politician will tell you we've got the best health care system in the world. For who? The people that are banking on it? Okay, there's a serious problem here. And the heart of my book, the subtitle is Vaccine-Induced Disease, the Serum Sickness Postulate. And when you understand that serum sickness is it's an assault on the vascular system. The vascular system and connective tissue go everywhere in the body. So everywhere the connective tissue goes, that's where you're going to find damage, that's where you're going to find disease, and that's how I qualify for you, Melody, and for the listeners, that you can have multiple disease presentations from one single cause.
If I could add to that, I totally concur with Patrick's saying. Serum sickness is a situation where the virus combines with the antibody and produces what could be described as a sludge that can cause microvascular strokes anywhere. But there's other ways that the vaccines damage as well, including causing autoantibody production, and such as in the nervous system, you can get something called demyelination, where the nerves have antibodies produced against either the myelin sheath that coats them or the nerves themselves. You can get genetic disruption. There's so many different ways that vaccines can damage people, And that's what I describe in my paper, Inoculation, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction. See, one thing, Melody, that I've learned from my research is that in many years past, due to unsanitary conditions and lack of hygiene, there were many situations where people were made sick from viruses especially, but also bacteria, even if they didn't know what was causing it back in those days. And even the case of autism, autism is actually something called subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is due to antibodies produced against the measles virus, that antibody being similar to, or the measles virus being similar to the myelin antigen. The myelin is what is to the nervous system what the plastic coating is to an electrical cord. So if you have an antibody against the measles virus, it can attack the myelin sheath due to something called molecular mimicry. My point is that there were some few cases of people that got that, which gives you the symptoms of autism. They changed the name to hide that fact. Some people did get that from having the measles virus infect them. Very few cases, but that did occur. But once you start injecting the viruses directly into the body in the process called vaccination or inoculation, that causes a corruption of the immune system, which I describe in the documents on my website, which the body cannot push those viruses out. You end up with a chronic disease, a low-level infection, but one that can never be resolved. And this is the reason why the injection of the virus is so much more serious than the actual, you know, getting the virus naturally by having somebody cough on you or sneeze on you or whatever. So the big picture of it all is that we had lots of disease, you know, way back when because of unhygienic conditions. Once those unhygienic conditions were resolved with sanitation systems, plumbing, toilets, things of that nature, those infectious diseases were pretty much gotten rid of. It is the injection of the viruses and the giving of the people chronic diseases that they can never clear, and having all of these other altered immune functions kick in, which is causing the chronic disease epidemic that we have today.
One question I have, somewhere I'm running across in some of the literature, and this may not be something that's accepted or addressed at all, but I've kind of gotten the impression that some think that viruses are more of a reaction to a toxin than being an entity of its own, you know, going out and infecting. Does that make any sense? Are you following what I'm saying?
Well, the work of Antoine Bachamp, who was alive at the time of Louis Pasteur, Antoine Bachamp was the true genius. He actually proved that it's not the bacteria, viruses, or any of these organisms that are the problem. It's the toxicity of the body itself. And if you have a toxic body, your body will develop more pathogenic, meaning disease-causing organisms, based on that toxicity, because the body thinks it's dying, and these organisms actually can mutate into more and more dangerous forms because they're starting to break the body down. So his message was that it's the toxic milieu, in other words, the fluids surrounding the cells and in the cells, when those become toxic, that's what makes these organisms start to break you down because they think that you're dying. So the toxicity is the true danger more so than the viruses. However, what's happened in the recent years, and it's amazing how long it's actually been going on, as Patrick has discovered in his research, they have been weaponizing these things. So in other words, it's not that these viruses and bacteria, but especially the viruses, were so dangerous in of themselves, but what they're doing now is finding ways to alter them, to reassort the genetic sequences, to combine viruses from different species, and this is what's going to cause the problem.
So in other words, the body doesn't have a normal reaction to things that they meet in the everyday world that they're being introduced to things that they're not used to dealing with? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, that's part of it, but also that they're interlinking viruses that cause infection in different species. So, for example, they've now weaponized rabies to the point where you don't even have to be bitten. You can be coughed on or sneezed on, and they're putting rabies in different human vaccines as well. As Dr. Jordan talked about in that very important show we did on July 11th, which is available on my website, you can listen to it on YouTube, they've found now a very pathogenic virus that was initially found in horses because they inoculated the horses. They sprayed it up their nose. The horses running on a racetrack basically shed those viruses. They ran greyhounds on the same track, and the greyhounds breathed in those viruses, and then it was able to jump species, and now they're making a vaccine out of that brand of flu. And, of course, if they vaccinate your pet with it, then your pet's going to sneeze on you or lick you or whatever, and that's going to combine with any viruses that you have. So it's a constant reassortment and recombination of viruses, but not to mention the fact, it's the fact that people of the world today, most people don't have a working immune system. If you've been inoculated prior, then your immune system is already corrupted, and it's not going to be able to handle anything naturally the way it was meant to ultimately result in pushing out the virus and boosting your immune system function, as well as all the different drugs that are being taken. You know, all of these things have side effects. And there's some diagrams on my website. The first one's called The Big Picture. That's the cause of all disease. And there's a YouTube video of me explaining the diagrams as well. What I want to get through to the listeners, it's not just vaccines, it's not just viruses. It's everything we're being exposed to. It's the pesticides, the fluoride, the aspartame, the antibiotics, which cause creation of stealth organisms. There's everything you can imagine. And the problem is, and I want Patrick to give his take on that question as well, that when you put all these things together, this results in a population that is so sickly and unable to respond naturally that the response that they come up with is actually going to be deleterious to their health. And the WHO has pretty much perfected that. In those memos, they describe how they've brought this immune malfunction to another whole level. Take it away, Patrick.
Okay. Melody, do you have anything that you want to bring up at this point?
No, that she pretty well answered quite a
okay.
bit of that.
So here's my entree into all of this. I tried to understand the natural world and what we would typically call natural disease, just like you had brought up. Where does this stuff come from? What are the mechanisms by which it reacts with the body? And then how do we cure it? And I found that we're not dealing with nature anymore. Exactly like Dr. Carley said, this stuff was beginning to be weaponized as early as the 1920s. Okay, I got to encourage everybody, get the book. You know, we can't go over this in 2 hours. There is so much evil going on here that they had basically altered nature.
But one thing that I like to put out to people and to give just a flavor of how the human mind and their acceptance of how this can even come about is to ask people is, do you think the world's overpopulated? And I'm amazed at how many people will say yes. And once you look at that and then start trying to take it back to the fact, okay, now how do you think those out there, where did that opinion come from? Who started putting that kind of information out there, and why did you begin to absorb it? And now why are you accepting that fact, and how do you think that they're going to address it?
Yeah, they're not going to tell you, we're going to start killing you now, people. Exactly. Go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, and that's a good segue into what happens next, is that I had found that what we were dealing with was completely unnatural, And so my study of nature was useless to me. And Dr. Carley, being a surgeon and you know, a prominent hospital in New York, will be able to tell you how much medicine is actually able to help people. You know, she can speak to that professionally. I can just speak to it as a consumer. Medicine did not help me at all, period. That's a closed, definitive statement. Medicine was completely useless to me. And so when I discovered that all this stuff was fabricated, then I had to deconstruct all of this machinery behind it. And after 30 years, folks, I had formulated my concept that this was induced serum sickness. Then I had become acquainted with Dr. Carley. We put all of our theories together, and now we can explain all the four hypersensitivity reactions in the body and link them to this man-made causative process. And then, in this timeline, I fell across this book by Joe Spener out of Oregon. He calls himself a farmer and a janitor. And he put a book together on Rockefeller regionalism, which, again, Melody addresses quite succinctly your concept that there is a concern out there of overpopulation. In his book, he had one page. It was just a photocopy from another book. And it said that if you took the entire population of the planet and put them all in Oregon, every man, woman, and child would have a 50 by 53 foot plot of ground to themselves. So this is a myth,
right?
And it's been sold to people. And so there's an agenda behind this, and the way to for them to promote their agenda, to accomplish their agenda, is to do it through what's called silent weaponry.
And
they can do that in many ways, through economics, through monetary pressure, game theory. They can use actual weapons. And the best one that we found is to get people to voluntarily roll up their sleeve and say, give me that vaccine that is made from toilet water that I know doesn't work and will make me sick for the rest of my life, and I'll pay you for it.
Right.
And so what they have done, and they is this cabal led by the WHO, the World Health Organization. I call them a military organization. They have been studying this for years. And again, in Joe Spener's book, he had a copy of the WHO 1972 Memorandum Number 1. And in this memorandum, they outlined that they were studying kidney disease. Now, keep that in the back of your mind, folks. They were studying kidney disease as it was created in the laboratory through the use of viruses. Now, the most important thing that Dr. Carley ever taught me was when you read or hear the word virus, think vaccine. When you read or hear the word vaccine, think virus. And so they had purposely either bred or caused lab animals to have no immunity. And typically they would use chemotherapy drugs to do that. And here's an interesting aside. Everybody that I have ever met in my entire lifetime that had stage 4 cancer told me personally, I was never sick a day in my life. And so what they did to these experimental lab animals, and you can always insert the word human when you hear that, they had made sure that their immune system was shut down. Then they loaded them up with a virus that would normally be lethal. It would kill them dead. They loaded every cell in their bodies up with these viruses, and the lab animals were running around like nothing was wrong.
While you're talking about that, then when you're saying chemotherapy is kind of doing the same thing, is it not?
Well, let's just take a brief segue on that. Dr. Carley knows more intimately than I do, because she is has in her possession, and she gave me a copy, which I have not read yet, is it the Special Virus Cancer Program?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Run by the NIH, yes.
By the National Institutes of Health, listen, folks, the polio vaccine delivered cancer to every man, woman, and child that ever got it. That was that program. That's why they did it. They were infecting you. They were giving you a disease on purpose, and they knew it, okay? And so cancer was given to you, and their treatment for it is to take away your immune system. Now, why would they do that? Your immune system is what monitors natural cancer, because just like Melody started the show with, people naturally get cancer every single second of their life. The immune system sniffs it out, hunts it down, and gets rid of it. But chemotherapy, radiation, and now this new gene therapy, it's all there to bypass or destroy your immune system. And so these laboratory mice, they had their immune systems destroyed. They were given a virus, a lethal virus, in every cell of their body. And then through the magic of, and I mean that in the black magic sense, through the magic of modern medicine, they were able to restart the immune system in these mice, which included what's called cell-mediated immunity and a cytokine cascade. And we're going to hear about this in talking about the flu.
But of course, you're going to hear from them as they're going to say that they were doing a, you know, this was part of their research and how they were able to create these vaccines to do good. Would you not?
Well, at this point, there, to my knowledge, there was not even the mention of a vaccine in these memos. They were just studying what happens when,
okay.
And so they were playing with immune systems and viruses, and basically turning them on and off like a switch. And again, I'd like to direct everybody to the Republic Broadcasting Network archives of Dr. Carly's show, where I did a three-part series on the biology of aggression. And in studying that NATO book, I found out that they have for decades been trying to figure out how to turn specific parts of the body on and off like a switch, like a light switch, turn it on, turn it off at will. And this is all done at the molecular level, okay? And so they were just experimenting and then finding that the sequelae, the thing that happened after they had played with these animals, was that they would be able to cause kidney disease in the very least. That was the least of what happened to these animals. The worst was, typically, they would die of these cytokine cascades because when they were loaded up with virus, the body would recognize every single cell in their body as the enemy. It would go out and attack it, and the animals would die. And, folks, you need to realize what I had just described right now is precisely what happened to the best, the brightest, the youngest, and the strongest in 1918, when this quote-unquote Spanish flu, which again was a bioengineered weapon, was released on our soldiers and then the civilian population.
And then, and did they not also get exposed then to chemical weapons on top of it?
Oh, well, see, and this is where we're trying to deconstruct the WHO memos. They have a specific protocol for turning off the immune system and turning it back on. And what I found in my independent research before I ever found Dr. Carly, before I ever found the WHO memos, is that in the laboratory they preferentially use pertussis, which is whooping cough, pertussis toxin to shut off immune systems in the lab when they're studying white blood cells, neutrophils.
If I could comment on a couple of things that you said, Patrick, because I just want to add to them. First of all, in terms of their research, because Melody was asking about, don't they say that they're doing the good things?
Yeah.
That's why Patrick said, when you read their research, for example, those WHO memos, they're talking about viruses. If you switch the word vaccine in there, then that shows their intentional collusion to commit genocide, because basically, that's what vaccines are, is they're witches' brews made of viruses and other things. And it's always the big picture, just like you said, Melody. There's toxins of all sorts in there. There's chemicals and many different things. But you see, when you put that word vaccine in place of the word virus, as you read those documents, then you realize that they were intentionally finding a way to make a vaccine that could cause these different problems. Also, in terms of your mention of overpopulation and what Patrick said, you see, the people, the cabal that runs the world, they cannot control the slave work units in the massive numbers that we now exist. If you put Georgia Guidestones into Google videos, you can watch a video of someone who went to Albertson, Georgia, and actually did a video of those Guidestones where they wrote in stone. The very first thing that they wrote is that they want to decrease the population of the world to 500 million. The reason they want to do that is because that's a much more controllable number of individuals, not to mention the fact that there's all kinds of technology available now, Tesla technology, which could give the world energy without pollution and all kinds of wonderful things that have been developed, but the powers that be do not make money from these technologies. Their technologies pollute. They, you know, the oil, the dinosaur meat, as I call it, and other things of that nature. So since all of their things are polluting, even in their insanity, they realize that if we continue down this road, the earth is going to be just a toxic cesspool. So rather than bring forth the wonderful technologies that are available that can do things for nothing, for no money, and give the world energy for free, they would rather just destroy the majority of the population so that the population that survives still has to, you know, purchase their oil and other things, but yet the pollution will be decreased enough to hopefully sustain human life, although I suspect that the whole reason for the NASA space missions is that they want to, you know, get ready to go to Mars and destroy that planet after they destroy this one. Lastly, in terms of the chemotherapy you had mentioned, I want to say that every single drug has an effect on the immune system. Every single drug has an effect on the brain, psychiatric and mental effects. And one of the most important drugs that they're using to shut down the immune system is steroids. I do consults for people to teach them how to reverse their diseases with natural therapies, and I'm constantly amazed. I mean, they're given steroids for everything. Every rash you get on your skin, every autoimmune disease that you have, they're giving steroids because it shuts down your immune system. That does not, you know, stop the progress of the actual disease. It just makes your immune system unable to respond so that you don't have as dramatic as symptoms. So it's always the big picture. But the bottom line is what people have to realize is that they are killing us softly and they're charging us to do so. And that is why Patrick and I and the others that we work with, our goal is to make people realize that there's natural solutions to all, you know, diseases, that most of the diseases are being created intentionally to make money for Big Pharma, and that we're paying for this. I just want to mention another thing because he brought up the special virus cancer program. This is very important for people to realize. They have been working on this since the time of Nixon. When Nixon declared his war on cancer, just like these minions always do, it was actually the exact opposite. The war on cancer was when they opened the first laboratory in Fort Detrick, Maryland, to start to develop viruses to cause cancer. And they've been working on this for years. And in those documents that I sent Patrick, I just sent him 1 year. It's close to 400 pages. I think I have 8 years of these documents. They test everything. They test aerosolization of different pathogens and chemicals. They check to see what the effect of radiation is. They check to see what the effect of pesticides are. They're doing everything they can to find how to create cancer, because cancer is probably the biggest moneymaker for Big Pharma. There's more money, more people making money off cancer than even have cancer, and it's a very good way for them to kill you, but at the same time make lots of dough.
Melody, do you mind if I continue on?
Go ahead.
Jump right on what Dr. Carley said and finish the picture here.
Go ahead.
This pertussis toxin that I was talking about that shuts down the immune system was delivered throughout the United States in 1915. 1915, folks. And then the soldiers, before they were deployed overseas for World War One, in 1918, were given a series of vaccinations, probably typhus, probably pneumococcal disease. Who knows what? Because this is an important thing to internalize, folks. Unless you made that vaccine yourself, you have no idea what's in that vial. You have no idea what's in that needle. Okay? So we don't know what these soldiers got. But they got shot up with something. They got sent overseas, and just like you were referring to, Melody, and then they got exposed to toxic gases on the battlefield. Now, one thing I do know from a nurse's hematology book is that when you're exposed to certain poisons, this neutrophil, this white blood cell system, activates. And so what we're looking at, and this is the pattern that I discovered before I saw the WHO memos, so my mind was already primed for this. 1915, pertussis toxin, the whooping cough vaccine was released. 1918, troops were loaded up with deadly pathogens. And then when they were sent overseas to the war, they got exposed to something that did what? Turn their immune system back on, and people were dropping like flies because of this supposed Spanish flu. Now, you can call it whatever you want. If you made it, you got control over it. And another thing that I want to bring up with respect to the military is that I've interviewed a lot of military personnel, and there was just one of my favorites was a 80-year-old gentleman that was in the Korean War, and I asked him if he got a lot of vaccines. He said, "We got so many vaccines that if you turned in the wind, you'd whistle." And he was a skinny little beanpole of a man. He was a farmer. And I asked him if he was that same weight when he was in the service. And he says, "Oh, no, they fed us really good, and I think he gained like 40 pounds while he was in the service." And that got me thinking, folks, one of the ways to do that is to put steroids in the food. Now, I have no proof of it whatsoever. But when Dr. Carley talks about being able to turn off your immune system with steroids, I'm thinking these soldiers are getting shot up with countless vaccines, and their immune systems must not work because that amount of vaccines would cause so much damage that you would have nothing but sick soldiers, and they wouldn't be able to gain weight because their bodies would be fighting illness. And so this steroid connection, it's just an invention in my head at this point. I think they were doping the food with steroids, and that would be, again, a way to suppress the immunity until you flipped whatever switch it was. And you need to understand, folks, Dr. Carley was talking about a systematic, scientific methodology of determining exactly how to make cancer. This was not for cures. This is how to make it.
Yes.
And they did it in a scientific manner. They know how to flip molecular switches in your body. And I'm going to tell you about the Rockefeller University was boasting of finding a molecular switch in a phage virus that can turn genes on and it can turn them off. And again, I'm extrapolating based on the knowledge and experience that I have. When I read that proud announcement, I realized you could then make a vaccine that targeted one specific individual based on their genetics or an entire race based on their genetics by putting a molecular switch in there, and all you had to do was switch off a gene and an entire race of people would drop dead.
And how do you think they would have switched those genes?
Well, that's the molecular mechanism that they've been studying. As
okay.
a matter of fact, it's very interesting. I went to medical school between 1983 and 1987, and for some strange reason, I saved every note I ever took in medical school and every lecture. and we learned about something called proto-oncogenes, and those are preliminary genes, and they could be thought of as switches, which are actually able to turn the cell on and make it a cancer cell, which just means that it doesn't know when to stop making itself, and it just continues to make itself, and that's how you form tumors. But they've been studying all these things for years, and in terms of the military, I just want to bring up that that's one of the most disgusting things that I have realized from all my many years of research, is that the military is front and center in terms of experimentation. As far as I'm concerned, whenever any recruiter signs up a young man or woman to be in the military, what they should tell them is that what you're actually agreeing to do is being an experimental lab rat, because they control everything that the military consumes, everything they're exposed to, every vaccine that they get. And so what it is a gigantic experiment. And as Patrick mentioned on a prior show that we did on another network, there's more truth, of course, in the Hollywood movies and shows than there is in the mainstream media. The show Fringe, Patrick, I'll let you talk about that, because that's very important as to how they're showing people that we're all lab rats, but the military's front and center.
I hope they make that where you can get that in the video stores, because I started to try to catch that one.
Okay, I will issue a warning, though, folks, because I am sensitive to chemicals. You'll also find that a group of people are sometimes sensitive to electromagnetics. And they had broadcast a Fringe episode where they told you there was a brain virus that was being distributed through computers and basically the TV screens. And when that sequence happened, you need to know something that came out of my study of the biology of aggression. There's this thing called audio-visual entrainment, where flashing lights and pulsing sounds can actually hypnotize you. It can also cause, as epileptics know, severe physiological reactions. And if you just happen to think you're going to watch that episode, I would caution against it, because it caused some serious pain. I could not stand to view that particular episode. But the point that Dr. Carl is making, and I'm just smiling from ear to ear because she's like a mind reader, is that you need to keep in mind, and I know there's a lot of data we're giving you, these WHO memos, there were two of them. The first memo dealt with when they played with these viruses in the lab animals. The most significant thing that they were studying at the time was the kidney damage that resulted from it. This was 1972. In 1972, folks, Nixon signed a bill that put in 1.7 million Americans into the Social Security program for either kidney transplants or kidney dialysis. Now, if you do watch the show Fringe, you will understand that their plot line is that the entire world is being used as an experiment.
And in a sense, when you look at some of the laws and things that they're passing right now, and the way that they're starting to infringe upon our rights and that, so they're kind of doing that.
Well, this is the exact point that I'm trying to make. In 1972, they were studying kidney disease that they made. They were making this kidney disease. They knew what they were doing. They codified it. They made a methodology of it scientifically. And then Nixon puts 1.7 million people into a program for kidneys. Listen, folks, this is one of the biggest experiments, the most horrible crimes that I have ever... I've read a lot of history, folks. I have never seen such evil in my entire life. This is a worldwide experiment, and you're part of it, because listen to me. This is in my book. If you got one vaccine in your entire life, this chronic serum sickness has set up in your body. You have been poisoned, and you will die an untimely death. It will be an unnatural death. Maybe you might get hit by a car. Maybe you might catch a virus naturally and it will kill you. Okay? That's what's called life. That's what's called nature. But when you're shot up by people that are making weapons and they know it will hurt you and they know why they're doing it, and why they're doing it is to purposely hurt you and to profit from it, then you are dying an unnatural death even from one vaccine. The more you get, the worse it gets.
And I would just like to mention 72, it's the same year that Nixon also started the war on cancer, where he started the special virus cancer program.
Thank you.
And I laugh as we hear about, today I heard that the Watergate Hotel is going up for auction. Of course, the Watergate Hotel is where they spied on Nixon's political enemies, and which eventually got him to resign from the presidency. And isn't it funny how that was his downfall, which tells me he must have pissed off the wrong people for some other reason, that was his downfall, because this man was involved, like Patrick said, in this massive experiment to start creating renal failure on an epidemic level, as well as cancer on an epidemic level. And they're doing this for two reasons, population reduction and to enrich Big Pharma, because there is no group that supplies more money to our corrupt politicians than Big Pharma.
And I'd like to talk to the money issue. I got cold chills when I read this. The compensation, the fee for service for dialysis from the 1970s forward had not changed. The government never adjusted the flat rate that it paid through Medicare to the present. In fact, in adjusted dollars, the actual dollar amount went down 60%. But at the same time, multi-billion dollar industries were built up around this. Now, somebody explain that to me, because supply and demand and cost and inflation, these rules that we were taught in school don't apply here. If you're getting paid a fixed rate that never changed in 30 years and the actual adjusted dollars is 60% less than it was when the program started, and you're making a multi-billion dollar industry, there's something wrong with that picture, folks. This is the world's greatest experiment, and you're part of it, because what I'm trying to tell you is that one single vaccine that you got, guess what, folks? That hurts your kidneys. It hurts the rest of your body, and most likely, like we had started the show out and Melody had her question, most likely the weakest organ or system in your body will be the first to go. And so if your brain is weak, you'll get the Alzheimer's. You'll get the Parkinson's. You'll get whatever neurological disorder, like autism,
right,
will show up. If your pancreas is weak, all you need is a DPT shot, folks. Anything with pertussis in it. Dr. Harris Coulter, and we can talk about criminality and violence in a second. Dr. Harris Coulter did testimony before Congress, and he said that the pertussis toxin is one of the most toxic substances known to man, and it will destroy the pancreas. It will cause diabetes. You wonder why your kids are all getting obese? Come on, folks, it's not because they're sitting in front of the hypno box. Right. It's because they have been injured, and they have been injured purposely because they know what they have done.
I agree.
And so Dr. Harris Coulter wrote a book, what is it, Dr. Carley, the Rise in Criminality?
Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality.
Mm.
You can get it on thinktwice.com. It's one of the most important books on the situation of violence and criminality being associated with vaccines, which Patrick has brought to the next level with his series on the biology of aggression, after finding the NATO book, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization book, that actually documents experiments they've been doing for years to cause aggression or to flip aggression off. But Dr. Coulter's book is very excellent. He's got a large segment in there on autism as well. and he describes the various mechanisms by which the vaccines cause these problems. As Patrick was saying, everybody has a weak link, and that's the true genetics that people need to be aware of. In your body, no matter who you are, you have a weak link. If they would leave their poisons out of us, we would be fine. The weak link would never manifest itself. But once you are damaged, whatever that weak link is, it can be neurological, it can be renal, it can be any part of your body, that damage occurs. In homeopathy, we call it a miasm. And once that damage occurs, that's the organ system that's going to be affected by the damage. And so this is what they're doing, is determining various ways to cause various diseases. And it doesn't matter what your weak link is. Eventually, if you're damaged enough, it will cause you to have an early end of your life.
So let's give them a blast of sunshine, because, you know, we talk about all this doom and gloom. Dr. Carly brought up homeopathy, and she's teaching me homeopathy, and I am seeing positive results in myself after 30 years, folks, of being told by the white coats, that's what she calls doctors, I get a kick out of that, being told that my condition was in my head. It was physiological. Poisoning could be in your head. The poison can get to your brain. It can cause lesions. It can cause damage. It can get to every part of your body. And I was basically tossed in a garbage can, and Dr. Carly pulled me out and dusted me off and says, let's see what we can do. You can eat organic, wholesome food instead of eating potato chips in front of your hypno box. You can drink water that does not have fluoride in it, because fluoride, again, is another one of those control mechanisms that they learned in the Russian and German prison camps to dull the prisoners' minds and keep them from any thoughts of revolt. Okay, these are all acts of aggression on human beings. These are all control mechanisms, as if you were prisoners, as if you were slave work units. Okay, nothing has ever changed since the Third Reich. And we have really good evidence with legal scholars that we are actually in the Fourth Reich.
And I just want to mention, since you brought up fluoride, fluoride has many deleterious effects. One of the things that fluoride also does is that it turns off every enzyme in your body. Enzymes are very important materials that are necessary to catalyze reactions. No matter what that reaction may be, the formation of neurotransmitters, the digestion of foods, etc. So they have perfected this where they have so many different cellular toxins that can affect the body. And as that Fringe series basically tells us, as I always say, there's more truth in the you know, Hollywood media and movies than there is in the mainstream news. They're basically doing all kinds of experiments simultaneously to see how can they create disease, because it will decrease the lifespan of the useless eaters. And while they're killing you, they're making lots of money off your demise and selling you drugs, etc.
Aren't there all kinds of different forms of fluoride while we're at it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, there is a natural form of fluoride. And fluoride is a substance that's good for the body when it's in its natural form. But what's happened, and this is an example of the corruption and fraud that we have to deal with every day, fluoride is a result of different types of manufacture. Aluminum manufacturer produces fluoride waste. Atomic bomb manufacturer produces fluoride waste. And there's also other industries that produce a toxic form of fluoride through the manufacturers of their various products. What they did many years ago, and I actually have copies of the original tests that were done, there was two different areas in New York where they were testing fluoride. Somebody came up with the idea, since natural fluoride in a certain community ended up in less tooth decay, they decided to take their toxic fluorides and test and see what the result was on tooth decay rates in the populations than their plan was, and exactly what they've done, and they still continue to do it, is that they wouldn't have to put the toxic fluoride in a waste dump and spend billions of dollars to do it. They could actually sell these fluoride compounds to water suppliers with the fake, you know, reason that it would improve dental caries rates, that is, cavities. And one of the original studies that I have actually showed that the initial studies that were done with these toxic fluoride compounds, the reason that the men had less tooth decay is because the teeth fell out. But they twisted it around to say that they had less tooth decay. And so this is how this whole fluoridation scam got started. And as Patrick said, fluoride is a drug. It actually causes you to become numb, docile. And they're putting this drug in water systems all over the world. And saying that this is done to prevent tooth decay, it's a psychiatric drug. Fluoride is in many psychiatric drugs. It's also in the antibiotic ciprofloxacin. So this is a massive drugging of the population.
Now, I did hear something to the effect that possibly fluoride might prevent bone loss under certain conditions. I don't know if it was weightlessness or what, and I don't know that it was a viable, you know, reason, but I heard something to that effect.
Yeah. Well, fluoride comes in a natural form. The natural form of all substances is good. It's from nature. But the toxic chemical byproducts of different manufacturers do the opposite. As a matter of fact, in medical school, it's really funny how it all works out. We're actually taught the truth, and I'm sure this is some kind of a notice of grace thing. they keep you nutritionally deprived and sleep deprived and pretty much a zombie state during medical school, and they do give you a lot of truth so that later on down the line, should you wake up, they can say, well, we told you this stuff. I mean, in fact, fluoride does, in its natural form, as I said, do good things. But I have a few articles and handouts, actually, about fluoride actually causing osteoporosis. Fluoride also is very much involved with hypothyroidism. And this stuff is all documented. As a matter of fact, one of the treatments of hyperthyroidism in my medical notes is fluoride. So if your thyroid is overactive, they will give you fluoride to decrease the thyroid function. Of course, once you realize that most people have hypothyroidism, you realize that's because they're getting fluoride in the water. But it's not just fluoride. It's always the big picture. It's vaccines. It's all kinds of other contaminants, especially in the water, different chemicals and such. But all of these things have side effects. The natural form of anything is good, and that's why it's in nature, because it's good. And what does Big Pharma do? They take anything natural, and the origin of many drugs is something in nature. They take the natural thing, they play with it, they twist it, they spin it, they tweak it. That's how they patent it, because you can't patent anything natural. Once they twist it, they patent it, and that twisting is what makes it toxic to the body.
Hold that thought, and let me say that you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHENLPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado, and we're community-supported radio. And we're streamed on the Internet at khen.org. And if you'd like to listen to tonight's program or any past programs of Truth Quest with Melody, they're available at www.givemesometruth.info or linked from the khen.org website. And again, the views expressed on this program are those of myself and our guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the KHEN staff, volunteers, or board of directors. And tonight we're interviewing Dr. Carley and Patrick Jordan, and they're giving us the truth on vaccines and many other things. And when you were talking about the patents, somewhere along the line, have I heard something about the CDC having patents? Have you heard anything to that effect?
Well, actually, in the show that we did on July 11th, and I just have to keep mentioning that because...
Yeah, it was a very good show, too.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's the most important show I've ever done, and I've been doing this for over 12 years, with what I call the Pandemic Prevention Team, which is myself, Patrick, Dr. Jordan, and Jane Burgermeister. We've all found, see, it's just amazing what happens when you have individuals searching for the truth, because the truth is out there, as they say on the X-Files. And, of course, there's so much truth out there that one person can't possibly find it all. But as we've joined together to find different aspects of what's going on, Dr. Jordan actually found information about the fact that the UN is actually the body that owns the patents on all of these different organisms that they're creating. So they create the organisms, they patent them, and then they make vaccines out of them to kill you, and they get the patents, so of course they're able to make money as they're killing you. I mean, it's like unbelievable, and one of our biggest problems, and I say this all the time, because I'm sure we're shocking a lot of listeners, especially if they didn't hear the previous show that we did. People that have a conscience can't even wrap their head around the fact that such evil that would do these things exists. And once you realize that this evil does exist, and that evil has no measure, it's even evil to its own, a lot of the individuals that work for these various agencies who know they're doing the wrong thing, they think they're going to be okay because they're part of the system. No. As a matter of fact, it's actually very likely that you will be taken out at some point, depending on where your position is. If you have info, against them, they will get rid of you in some way as well. So that's what we have to deal with. And Patrick and I are going to be doing a show in the near future explaining the history of this evil. It has also been cataloged by Patrick, and it's really pretty amazing. It turns out that there's a demonic aspect to this, and I'm convinced that that demonic aspect, they're actually working on transmitting that genetically as well, because if they can make the entire human population basically have no conscience to where they'll sell out their fellow man, you know, I call it the Judas epidemic, then they can get anyone to do whatever their bidding is. And please, Patrick, if you would, one of the most important things, well, you've uncovered so many important things, but that a document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, please tell the listeners what they tell people they're going to do in terms of how they're going to cause their destruction, causing people to kill each other. So they don't even have to do anything. They're just sitting in the director's chair.
Oh, thanks for the director's chair segue. Again, Joe Spener, Rockefeller Regionalism, The Shadow Behind Oregon's LCDC is the name of the book. And this fellow compiled like the most outrageous amount of intelligence gathering I have ever seen in my entire life. His work completed my work. He closed the door on 30 years of my research. There is a document that has a legend that it was found inside of a surplus copier at Boeing, and it is a secret, top secret document that has no signature on it for who created it. And it basically says that you can look at the economy in the same way that you would look at energy, and energy being the physics of it. So if you were to model an electronic circuit, and all the mathematics and all the circuit diagrams that go with electronics can be cross-applied to economics. And they came up with this concept of shocking the system as a test, where they could say that if they raised the price of gas, they could predict with accuracy who would have a headache and who would buy a pack of cigarettes and who would go to a tavern. Okay? This is the amount of control that they have scientifically codified and made methods of to manipulate you as if you were a piece on a game board. And it's interesting that I say game board, because the other thing that they would use is a thing called game theory, where they would induce you into what I call the Sumerian funnel. It's a false choice. You can either be shot in the chest with a bullet, or you can be stabbed in the back with a rusty knife. That's your choice. Of course, that is no choice at all. You don't want either.
Sounds
but
like
in their game theory, they force you into that position.
It sounds
and
like our political system.
What did you say, Melody?
I said it sounds like our political system.
Exactly.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, folks, you need to understand, Ferdinand Lundberg wrote a book called The Rich and the Super Rich, and this might be the fellow that was referred to in this document, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, that had basically outed their system, because he said that by 1918, there was no government. It had been completely taken over by the 64 ruling families. And he was saying that Democrats and Republicans were just an inside joke. He said the Republicans would basically rape the nation for all they possibly could, and then people would vote Democratic because they thought it was some kind of like pressure release, and they would give them just tiny bits of concession. Because, folks, listen to me, Ferdinand Lundberg said there is no difference between the two parties. They just knew that they could not ride you constantly for 12 years without a revolt, so they gave you this pressure relief valve in the facade of the Democratic Party, so that you would not revolt, so that you could get a break for 4 years, so that they could ride you again. This is a Sumerian funnel. You got a choice of Democrats or Republicans. Whoever talks about a third party, and Dr. Carley told me a long time ago that the actual first third party that we ever had in the United States was the anti-Masonic party.
Yes. That was destroyed very quickly. Yes, as I always say, there is no aisle. And actually, Obama is one of the best examples of this. When he came in, of course, he was playing on the dissatisfaction that the people had with this sock puppet called George Bush. I mean, this guy was such an idiot. I mean, even with his teleprompters, he couldn't read what he was told to say to the people. And this warlord that started these fake wars and all these other things. And, of course, Obama was going to take care of business. And now this guy comes into power. Although he's not really in power, he's another sock puppet as well for his overlords. But look what's happening to our country. I just saw on television today that we're $23 trillion further in debt than we were in January, with all of Obama's policies that are actually doing absolutely nothing to bring about jobs, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no other conclusion that one can come to but that these people are all working together to destroy our nation, to bring us to a third world nation status, so that we will be much more easily, controlled by the powers that be. And healthcare is a very important part of that, as we're seeing, because if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And once they start passing this mandatory healthcare, where, as we were saying before, you're going to have mental health exams and mammograms and all kinds of other things that they're going to do to you, that it's actually going to harm you just in the diagnostics of it all, they're going to be able to increase the genocidal program much more speedily.
Well, that's if we make it past September, because Obama has mandated 3 flu vaccines. And I'd like to remind the listeners of this pattern that we saw in the WHO memos, is that first you shut off the immune system, then you load up the host with virus, deadly virus, then you turn the immune system back on. This pattern was used in World War I. The Gulf War vets got a pertussis vaccine before they were given the anthrax vaccine, and a lot of people got injured and killed from the anthrax vaccine. What we're looking at is a pattern, a 1-2-3 kill pattern. Why do you need 3 flu vaccines if a vaccine actually worked? And what we're telling you, folks, is all of our research going back to Jenner, 219 years, shows that vaccines do not work. They are a poison to your system. Good nutrition, clean water, sanitation, that was enough to turn the entire history of the world around. You can go to the National Vital Statistics and you can look at the charts of death by infectious disease, and they were all on a severe decline before vaccines were introduced. So this is a case of walking into a parade and claiming that it's for you.
Yeah, I just want to mention there's also an excellent book that I recommend to people who are trying to wake up those around them, in baby steps. And you can get that book also from thinktwice.com. It's a book by Neil Z. Miller. It's entitled Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective? And in that book, he has proof that all of these infectious diseases were on their way down when vaccines were introduced, including polio, because that's the one people usually bring up to say, oh, vaccines eradicated polio. No, polio is an enteric virus. It's transmitted from contaminated feces and urine. Once they developed toilets, it was on its way down. When they introduced the vaccine, the incidence actually skyrocketed, as he explains in his book. But you see, what these minions do is they change the name of the disease when it's caused by a vaccine. When it's caused by a vaccine in terms of polio, they call it a different thing than
aseptic
when it's caused
meningitis.
By... Pardon me?
Aseptic meningitis.
There you go, yes. And so this is how they operate. They just change the name. It's a bait and switch. And so that's what people have to realize. But once again, not to put people in the fear mode, I just want to announce something very exciting. I sent you this email, Patrick. I don't know if you got a chance to open it yet. Our associate, Jane Burgermeister,
yeah,
the journalist from Austria that has gone after the WHO, gone after Baxter, filed criminal charges, it's obvious that she's having an effect, because there was an article published on IOL.co.za on July 15th, and the headline of this article is, "There's No Vaccine, Says WHO Chief." And in this article, Dr. Chan has said that having a vaccine available is not the same as having a vaccine that is proven safe. So they're backsliding a little bit. I don't know if this is going to mean that this is going to stop them from pushing this vaccine in the fall, because obviously there's no way they could have possibly tested this vaccine. As a matter of fact, Patrick and I have been doing shows on a network that goes out to the military, and we've gotten reports that there's a certain Navy ship that was tested with the swine flu vaccine, and they're in quarantine, and nobody can find out what's even happening to these soldiers. So obviously it's doing bad things. So we know that the vaccine testing that's going on is actually testing to see what the kill rate is, and because of the effects of Jane Burgermeister and all of us who are putting pressure and spreading the word on a viral level throughout the globe, they're having to realize that, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to be asking hard questions, especially after our corrupt Congress and President. You know, they've given immunity to these vaccine manufacturers. I mean, think about it, folks. How could they possibly pass laws that say if you're forced to get an injection that kills you, you have no legal recourse? That's your problem. You know, that's a huge red flag. And I just want to make sure I bring out one very important thing. I encourage all of your listeners to go to Facebook and type in Jane Burgermeister End Forced Vaccination. I did a show earlier today out of Switzerland, and she had an individual on who has started this Facebook site, and there's thousands of people all over the world, and everybody is taking apart whatever they feel that they're led to do, to bring information to people, to politicians, to the police or whatever, about what's going on. You see, what I know in my heart, and this is what keeps me going, is that these minions, they've taken off their masks a little bit too quick, and people are waking up big time. And there's more of us than there is of them. And I view them as cockroaches, and they're going to have to go back under the rock from whence they came. Because once enough people realize what their agenda is, just think of all the people suffering in the world, especially children with autism, children with cancer, children with insulin-dependent diabetes, children with life-threatening allergies where they die if they sit in a cafeteria and smell somebody else's peanut butter sandwich. They know exactly what's causing all of these things, and it is vaccinations.
Hit the Gardasil one.
Oh, okay. Well, now that's very interesting. Well, in the Special Virus Cancer Program, that's what they've been doing, is studying viruses that make cancer. I'm convinced that the human papillomavirus is one of the creations. I have not found documentation of that in the Special Virus Cancer Program book yet. However, there's no question that the Gardasil vaccine is one of the most dangerous vaccines. It's killing many, many young girls, and now they're even starting to promote it in boys. One of the things I encourage all of your listeners to do is go to your local library and check out in the physician's desk reference, or you can even check through Google or Scroogle or any of the other search engines, put any vaccine and side effects into the search engine and read what it says. Not a single vaccine, not one, has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. This includes the Gardasil vaccine. And I recently did a show based out of Jamaica. It's really funny because I do so many shows, and only in Jamaica are the radio hosts able to find white coats who are so stupid as to come on a show with me and debate these issues. I just did a show a couple weeks ago, which should be on my website very soon, of some minion who is being paid off by a pharmaceutical company. There's a new HPV vaccine, which is called Cervarix, which brings in the T-cell aspect of things. They have a new adjuvant they've created to activate the T-cell aspect of the immune system, and this is the very dangerous new thing that they're doing, because this is what causes the cytokine storm, as we've been talking about, which all of you can just visualize as massive inflammation, where people with normal immunity, or whatever normal immunity is in a vaccinated person, but immunity capable of protecting you, can be totally switched over to create massive inflammation that kills you. This doctor from Jamaica that was on with me, it was truly amazing. She was making statements such as, well, she's been going to conferences all over the world about this new vaccine called Cervarix, made by GlaxoSmithKline, and there's not been a single, you know, side effect reported. And the host of the show is telling her, well, what do you mean there's not been a single side effect report ever, you know, exposed? Because what they always do is they say, well, there's no proof that the vaccination caused it. You know, I always use the example, if you stub your toe and your toe turns purple, and, you know that happened because you stubbed your toe. That's called the cause and effect relationship. But what's really amazing in medicine is that if they inject you with a witch's brew and you die or whatever, I had a client in Oregon that got the vaccine for the HPV. She actually got the Gardasil at the same time as hepatitis. Within 3 months, she was in liver failure. They wanted to do a liver transplant. But, of course, what do they say? Oh, it's not from the vaccine. There's no proof that it's from the vaccine. You could get a vaccine one day and die the next, and they would still say, well, there's no proof it's from the vaccine. We have young girls having strokes from the Gardasil vaccine. How many 12-year-olds do you know that get strokes? But they say there's no proof it's from the vaccine.
Well,
it's called, you know, basically putting on a blinder and ignoring the obvious.
Isn't it possible that there's a side effect, too, of infertility?
Well, I'm going to let Patrick comment on that, because Patrick found the proof from NATO itself. Take it away.
Oh. You ladies, I got a full page of notes just to keep up with you. I have to tell the listeners, there is a phrase in politics, if you control the language, you control the debate. And so if anybody thinks out there that they're smart enough to consider, well, if I just wait for this vaccine to have passed the safety trials, maybe it's going to be okay. Okay, let's examine this, folks. We are saying, and we always have said, that for 219 years since Jenner, no vaccine, as reported in the physician's desk reference, has ever been tested for carcinogenicity, causing cancer, mutagenicity, causing mutations, or effects on fertility. And what happened was in, I believe it was the Philippines, Mexico,
yes,
and Nicaragua,
mm-hmm,
some very we're going to call them human beings. Human beings took it upon themselves to check out the tetanus vaccines that were given to women that had given birth or were not even pregnant. Okay, they just had a vaccination program for women. And they started having miscarriages. They started having stillbirths. They started having spontaneous abortions. And these people that had administered the vaccines that were given to them, it was a program, they had them independently evaluated and found out that adsorbed to the tetanus vaccine was human chorionic gonadotropin, which in any incarnation of the universe could never be there.
Right.
It was put there on purpose, for the purpose of creating abortions. So these people are anti-human. And when Dr. Carley talks about a demonic component, I am rooted in the hard sciences. But when I went back in time to study medicine, I got back to the 1700s and found out that what we call science, or this pseudoscience that they operate with medicine, disappeared, and all of what we call medicine had its roots in black magic. So I started studying the ancient Babylonian texts. I started studying black magic. And I found that in these cultures in Mesopotamia, which is Greek for where the two rivers meet, which means Babylonia, which means the north is Babylonia, the south is Sumeria, and I'm always referring to them as the Sumerian overlords. Ur of the Chaldees was the most prominent black magic center in the world 6,000 years ago. This is where your medicine came from, folks. And the names of the diseases, as codified in their writings, were the names of demons. So if you had the shivers, that was a demon. If you had nausea, that was a demon. If you had rabies, our favorite topic, that was a demon.
Now, this area is also Iraq. Correct?
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
That's very important.
So caught up in that. And where are we now? If we were there for oil, folks, one of the most organized, technically advanced military on the planet, and we have not secured the oil, and we're not paying 19 cents a gallon for gas in the United States, then we weren't there for oil. One of the first things that they did was they actually guarded, the United States military guarded the Antiquities Museum in Baghdad while it was being looted. Nobody stopped them. They captured from secret rooms artifacts that no doubt had black magic connotations, okay? I am deeply rooted in science, but I have to evaluate the facts, and the facts are showing that there is some incredibly huge plan that we have not yet uncovered that's going on.
There are some that are saying that they may have been after some kind of genetics there. And
well, I'm convinced from Patrick's research, because he actually found a interview that was done talking about the things that were looted. And I just want to say, Patrick, because you keep saying you're rooted in science, black magic is science. Magic is a scientific offshoot, and that's what people have to realize. These things have power. The Satanists and the Luciferians that do different rituals, why do they do them? Because it gives them power. And this is a very important thing for people to realize. But I also just wanted to further mention, in terms of the anti-fertility aspect, when Patrick mentioned the human chorionic gonadotropin. You see, this is how evil they are, folks. They did these experiments in the Philippines and other third world countries, but I'm convinced that the massive epidemic of infertility in the United States today is due to the same phenomena. When you put a hormone such as human chorionic gonadotropin into a vaccine and inject it into somebody, that's a hormone that's produced when a woman first becomes pregnant. That's the hormone of pregnancy. If you inject it into somebody before they become pregnant, they develop antibodies against it. Therefore, when they then subsequently become pregnant, the antibodies against the hormone will attack their hormone, and they will have a spontaneous abortion. So this is a massive infertility program that they have been conducting. And this book that Patrick found, that's also published by NATO, called Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines, they have a whole chapter in there. You know, just like the Nazis, these minions, they're proud of their accomplishments. They publish it, and they put it in their various writings, never realizing that Patrick Jordan's going to find their little gems. And this is what they're doing. So what kind of a situation do we have now? So many women are infertile, and so they're forced to undergo very expensive infertility treatments. So what we're basically coming to a point where only the very rich are going to be able to conceive, because if you don't have $100,000 to get their treatments, you're not going to be able to have a baby, or you're going to have to adopt a baby from a third world country. And when you do that, you're giving more power to us controlling the revenues and the natural resources of those third worlds.
Isn't it true that there's also a relationship between the pesticides and having these hormones in there as well, that's affecting that? And it isn't just affecting humans either.
Right. Well, as I always say, it's the big picture. I mean, my focus, and Patrick's too, is the vaccines. But it's always the big picture. There are many synthetic estrogens. They're called estrogen mimickers. Pesticides are one. There's also different plastics that cause the same problem. Different types of soy do the same thing. These are actually substances that produce an estrogen, a hyperestrogen situation, which is going to feminize men and also cause what's called precocious puberty in young girls, making them develop faster and have all kinds of abnormalities and making them more susceptible to breast cancer and things of that nature. So, yes, as a matter of fact, there are streams that have a lot of these chemicals in them where there are no male fish because it pretty much wipes out the male species. So it's always the big picture.
If I can jump back to notes that I took on your previous conversations between you two, Melody had brought up concerns about bone loss, osteoporosis. And when I went through my book, because, you know, there's just too much information in there. My book is nearly 250 pages long. I can't memorize half of the stuff that I wrote down. The aluminum, which also showed up in this NATO book, Immunological Adjuvants and Vaccines, that Dr. Carley had just mentioned, the aluminum that they put in vaccines, interferes with magnesium and calcium and phosphorus in the body, and that will affect your bone metabolism. Now, I personally, and I'd like to get back on this topic of pertussis again, the pertussis toxin, if it affects white blood cells, the things that eat your bones and then spit the bones back out, they're called osteocytes and osteoclasts. Well, they're osteocytes, osteoclasts and osteoblasts. They tear the bone down and they build it up. It's a constant process. If we look at these cells as if they were white blood cells, and the pertussis toxin or some toxin in vaccines inhibits that action, then your bone tearing down and building up process will be inhibited by vaccination. And here again, what I was trying to show was vaccination can lead to vascular disease, heart disease. It can lead to diabetes. It can lead to autism. It can lead to Alzheimer's. It can lead to what? Now we're talking osteoporosis here. There are matrix, I got to go look them up. There's proteinases in the body that when these become deranged, that will affect all of your connective tissue, okay? It will cause autoimmunity, and the autoimmunity will cause you to attack any component of your body if it was tagged. And to get back to the Gardasil topic, again, in women's health, they are putting the, help me out here, Dr. Carley. It's the M, it starts with the M, the adjuvant.
Oh, monophosphatidyl A.
Yeah.
That's the one in the cervix vaccine, yeah.
Exactly. And, folks, to bring this all together, there's a phrase in engineering and technicians, never mess with a working system. This monophosphatidyl A basically is the toxin from typhus, Salmonella typhi murium.
Food poisoning.
Actually, I said that wrong on Drew Raines' show. It's not food poisoning. It's typhus. It's from a mouse. The murium means mouse, and the Salmonella typhi is the typhus, the typhoid disease. Okay, food poisoning Salmonella is just another one of that same family. But what they're doing is they're putting in the same toxins that they shot up the soldiers with in 1918, because squalene is in this too. And squalene, folks, is an oil, and your body is made out of this backbone. Squalene is nothing but a zigzag in a chemical formula. It's a backbone for all lipids before they become cyclized. Okay? The other experimental lipids, and these things are proprietary now. They're not even going to tell you what's in there. One that I just uncovered when I was on the squalene trail was vitamin E, alpha-tocopherol. They're putting vitamin E in vaccines. This means that if you took vitamin E as a supplement, it would be recognized as the enemy and attacked. If vitamin E was a natural process in your body, if you got a vaccine that had vitamin E in it as an adjuvant, that would make you attack your own vitamin E. These people are crazy. I can't even call them people. This is why we call them demons, okay? And Dr. Carley had brought up the term useless eater. That actually, folks, if you've ever heard it before, is from the Church of Satan. That's what they call anybody that lives off of the state.
Yeah,
and
that,
guess what?
Kissinger
most people
that
live off the state were caused to be that way by vaccine-induced disease. Go ahead, Melody. Sorry for cutting
saying,
me off.
Henry Kissinger also used that term.
Well, let's just say that he's from the Church of Satan, because I don't say that.
Well, and as long as you brought up that demon's name, as far as I'm concerned, he is one of the most evil people that's ever breathed air on this planet. If people put Henry Kissinger and Memo 200 into any search engine, you can read about this memorandum that he wrote, and he testified in front of Congress that population reduction is a national security issue.
Right.
Now, just picture all of the minions that you're seeing on television, on C-SPAN and Fox News and all these different shows. I mean, they're just flooding us with, you know, all of our quote-unquote representatives, which are traitors against the human race, talking about this national health care plan. Imagine if when they're talking about it, they said, well, we have to kill you. This is how we're going to do it, with our national health care plan. It's a death care plan.
Yep.
You see, that's what you have to think of when you watch these people talk.
Opposite day.
Yeah, because what they're going to do is to force you, or try to force you, to do things that they want you to do, which are going to experiment on you, kill you, and allow them to create an electronic database where they can, you know, basically hyperlink all of their experimental data and find the most efficient way and the most, you know, profit margin way for them to do so.
Well, you have to wonder with the vaccinations that Bill Gates and them are funding over in third world countries, is what might be in them.
Well, okay. Can I take that one?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dr. Carley, because I got notes. I can work from
okay.
notes.
Okay. Well, Bill Gates, he's one of my least favorite people. I have information on my website. And first of all, let me just say, I encourage the listeners to search back into their brains. You will remember that the Department of Justice was after Bill Gates some years ago, basically charging him with a monopoly with his Microsoft software. And that problem went away. And the next thing you knew, we had the Gates Foundation, where him and his gal Melinda are, you know, donating $1 billion to basically create vaccines for third world countries. One of the things that they're creating is a malaria vaccine, and one of the most insane things I've ever heard of is that he's developing what he calls flying syringes. And this just gets back into my whole idea of the white-coated mosquito. I cracked up when I heard this, where he's purporting that it would be beneficial to breed mosquitoes and put malaria into them so they would sting the people of third world countries. But see, it's funny how when they make these mosquitoes, all of a sudden it becomes a vaccine. And that's why, as Patrick said, I always tell people, if you read any of their information and they say virus, substitute the word vaccine and you'll understand the true agenda. And if they say vaccine, substitute the word virus. The main place that comes in is with genetically modified food. They're telling us they're creating, you know, vaccines and food. No, they're creating food that's going to produce virus, and you're going to be eating this stuff, and it's going to be setting up further virus factories in your body. Go ahead, Patrick.
Well, wasn't also Robert Gates, wasn't that Bill Gates' dad?
I don't know. That would be a very important factoid I didn't know.
Yeah, as my understanding, you know, I believe it was his father that was head of Planned Parenthood or started it.
Oh, get out of here.
Wow.
That bears investigation.
Yeah, that bears investigation. I mean, you know, these minions, it's all bloodline, and we've talked about this so many times on other shows that we've done, and that's one of the most important things, as Patrick always says, if you want to test to see how much mind control somebody's on under... you know, ask them if they know that Obama is a cousin of Dick Cheney. You know, it's really funny how Obama is being promoted. Oh, he's a black man. He may have dark skin, but he's a cousin of Dick Cheney, okay? And that's where his genetics lie, ergo his conscience or lack thereof. But go ahead, Patrick. I know you wanted to comment on the things we were talking about.
Okay, I wanted to clear up because I was having a bit of memory fade. It's matrix metalloproteinases that when those get deranged, then your entire system of connective tissue gets all eaten up. And we all have an epidemic of osteoporosis in this country. And I'm just telling you folks, if you get my book, we outline in detail how all these systems can be broken down by one invasion of that needle. I'd like to pick up on another orphan topic, that of the squalene, because we were informed by Dr. Jordan, she's no relation of mine, the veterinarian, that they are putting squalene into the flu vaccines. And so we've told you for a long time that all these vaccines are dangerous. They have the potential of being weapons. They have the potential of being genocidal weapons. And if, for any reason, you thought that you could play Russian roulette with a vaccine, squalene has been demonstrated by the Government Accountability Office, the GAO, that the Department of Defense had, without consent or knowledge, injected vaccines with experimental squalene adjuvant in it into many soldiers.
Especially
they all came down with anti-squalene antibodies. Autoimmunity, folks, because squalene is that backbone on which all of your lipids are built. The Department of Defense denied it, even though an independent lab confirmed it, even though the GAO said this is true. Okay, these are the kind of people that you're dealing with. They will deny to the grave that they are killing you. And so if these new flu vaccines have squalene in it, if you do not die, you will still have been poisoned. You will still attack your own body, okay? You can't play Russian roulette. All the chambers are loaded.
Well, I just want to mention that it's not just a squalene. There's also tissue cultures that are used to grow the viruses, and they're using aborted fetuses in many cases. If you have an aborted fetus's nervous tissue that's being used to grow a virus, they cannot separate the nervous tissue from the virus. So when they inject you with the virus, you're getting the nervous tissue as well. So you will develop an antibody to the nervous tissue, and that antibody will attack your nervous tissue or your pancreas or your kidneys or whatever the case may be. So there's so many layers to this. The bottom line is every single ingredient of a vaccine is a toxic poison. Mm-hmm. It's a witch's brew. They're even putting things in vaccines now like MSG and aspartame. And as I always say, who cares what your vaccine tastes like? They're injecting it into you. I mean, they're making it very obvious that they're doing these things to cause harm. And there's no other, conclusion that one can come to if one has two working brain cells. And that's why it is our mission, Patrick and I, and the people that we work with, to make people realize that vaccines are the true weapons of mass destruction, causing the biggest epidemic the world has ever known, whereas the medical mafia tries to purport the vaccines are the best things since sliced bread. And the swine flu vaccine is just the ultimate vaccine that they've created to be a killer vaccine that's going to be able to kill millions of people, because they're going to use the excuse of the swine flu being a pandemic. And what they're going to say is that, oh, darn, we didn't have the right viruses in the vaccine. It mutated too fast. Must be that we didn't have, the proper viruses in there to protect the people, and that's why billions of people died. No, they're going to die from the vaccine. But they've got their ducks all in a row in terms of their explanation for the genocide that's going to be happening starting this fall.
Well, didn't they also have some kind of major alert out, even though we didn't really have that many cases? And then also tie in Baxter Labs with Jane Burgermeister and what was going on there?
Well, Baxter Labs released 72 kilograms of live bird flu virus to four European countries. And
that's 158 pounds for those of you that don't have, the calculators.
And I try to picture that, a 158-pound person and transmute them into virus. That's a lot of virus, people. And what they were doing was sending what was supposed to be human flu virus to these 16 laboratories in these four European countries so they could study them. And as it turned out, they had contaminated them with these live bird flu viruses. The only reason this ever came out is because some of the laboratories started injecting the virus into especially ferrets to see what the result was. It was like a preliminary test, and they all died immediately. And they did genetic testing to see what was the actual virus they had, and they found that there was live bird flu virus in there. And this was initially picked up by the Canadian press. There was a total blackout of this in this country. In fact, it's still been blacked out to this day. And this is where Jane Burgermeister, as a journalist, came in and started investigating this and filed her initial criminal charges. And as I said earlier, Baxter Labs had a bird flu vaccine ready to be licensed. So you see, this is how it works. You create the problem, and then you give the solution. Of course, you make billions of dollars from the alleged solution, which is not actually a solution. It turns out to be a genocidal weapon. This is called the Hegelian dialectic. And this is a basis on which our world works at this point.
What's coming to mind, and I may be wrong on this, but it seems to me that it was the CDC had the patent on vaccines. Does that ring a bell at all?
The CDC had what?
A patent on vaccines.
Well, actually, as it turns out, it's the UN that has patents on all these biological weapons. But the CDC is definitely one of the 1,088 bioweapons laboratories in the United States that produces these viruses. So we have over 1,000 laboratories here, and that's why one of the things I always tell people is that, you know, they're telling you Osama bin Laden, he's going to come here with his terrorists and, you know, spray you with viruses, or, you know, these are the true terrorists. Every FedEx truck that drives by your house, you have to realize that the way that they transport these bioweaponized viruses from one lab to another is by FedEx. So if a FedEx truck gets in an accident in your, you know, neighborhood and it's got any of these bioweaponized viruses on board, you're going to end up in quarantine. And this happened in Canada. That's how I found out about this a few years ago. But that's what's going on. Yes, all of these laboratories are making all these viruses. Patrick mentioned the Special Virus Cancer Program documents I sent him just 1 year, which is between 350 and 400 pages. They're making all these viruses in laboratories. You know, medical schools, veterinary schools, zoos, pharmaceutical companies, they're all involved, and they're doing all of these things. They're shipping their viruses from one lab to another by FedEx. And they're doing these things to cause genocide. That's what we're paying our taxes for.
And one other thing is, didn't you make some mention of aerosolized vaccines?
Yes.
Can I take that one?
Because
I got my notes ready.
Go ahead. Take it away.
Well, here's the thing, folks. What's wrong with wearing a mask? Why do you have to have somebody shoot an unknown, untested substance into your body? And again, I have to emphasize, if you didn't make it, you don't know what's in it, and you cannot safety test a vaccine, because I think Dr. Carley has eloquently outlined that everything in a vaccine is poison. So how in the heck do you safety test a poison?
I bet they have a way.
So, what's wrong with wearing a mask if there was a pandemic? But worldwide, what were the statistics? Maybe 174 people out of 6 billion died in suspicious circumstances because they had easy term for comorbid conditions. They had, like, extenuating
chronic
circumstances.
Disease.
They had other diseases, for goodness sakes. Okay? And they died of supposed swine flu that actually takes a genetic test, and you have to look at specific gene sequences to make sure that's what it was. And when independent labs looked at these quote-unquote swine flu cases, they found bridges between swine, human, and bird that suggested that this thing was made in a laboratory and was not a freak of nature, okay? And so let's talk about aerosolization. In the 1940s, the Navy contracted California University to come up with a flu mist. if you think that the nasal sprays that they have for flu vaccines now is something new, folks, it's been around for 60 years. And I got to tell you, whenever they come up with a method or a product, it is with the express purpose of making it into a weapon. In 1959, studies began in bat caves. And finally, the publication came out, rabies transmission by air in bat caves. I'm telling you, folks, I have done extensive research on this with a veterinarian, Dr. Patricia Jordan. Rabies never, never was a public health threat. We have documentation on it. It's a terrible disease. You don't want that disease. But it can be proven conclusively. If you muzzle your dogs, you will eliminate almost all human cases of it. Okay? They made it into a weapon so that now in the Grand Canyon, animals across different species just have to touch noses and they can transfer rabies. And I was told that now, because rabies is an epidemic in Arizona right now, they're opening up the Grand Canyon for free for tourism, okay? They want you to get infected. They've aerosolized all of these terrible organisms, okay? I'm not telling you to create fear. I'm telling you if it comes down to a public health threat, wear a mask.
And if I could just interject once again, showing the truth in the movies, if the listeners have not seen the movie Quarantine, you need to see that movie, because that is a movie about how they've weaponized rabies and they create these bloodthirsty ghouls after they've been infected. And, of course, there's more truth in the movies than there is in the mainstream media, and this movie is basically factual. Of course, they don't tell you that it's the CDC that's making these weaponized rabies viruses and other labs such as that. They claim it's some, terrorist group doing it in a laboratory in a basement. No, that's not where it's coming from, folks.
One of the first projects the CDC took on when it was formed around 1947 was rabies. Folks, this is a long train coming.
You know, it's just amazing the amount of information you have, I constantly hearing people talk about the fear thing, but you know what? I'm not. The more I learn, the less fearful I am. At least I know what's coming and where it's coming from, and what I can, that I can do something about it.
Well, I have to comment on that because this is my most important message. Everything bad and demonic that's happening is being done on purpose, and we're paying for it. Once enough people, once a critical mass realizes that, we stand up with the power innate within us and say, we see you cockroaches, we know what you've been up to, and you better go back under that rock or take off in that shuttle and go to Mars, because you're going to be tried for treason. Once we take our power back, it's over for these minions, because they're doing all of this on purpose, and all of the technology has already been created to heal our earth, to clean the water, to clean the air. Everything already exists. It's just that they are suppressing it for their own purposes.
You need to pay attention to the man behind the curtain, if I can invoke the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Once they had discovered that wizened little old man behind the curtain running the big machine, it was he that was shaking. Okay, we have to expose the predator, get him out in the open so that the entire herd can see, because listen, folks, they think that you are a herd of slave work units. And then the predator loses its moment of surprise.
A good example of that is when you hear the term human resources.
Oh, I love
that.
Yeah.
Right. When did personnel become human resources? That was a little obvious. And yes, when Patrick was talking about the Wizard of Oz, I want all of you to picture Patrick and I as Toto. Pulling back the curtain.
And, it's great that you guys have come on our program and, given us, spent, these last two programs giving the information out to the public, because there's a lot to digest here, and it's being able to have somebody come on here and give us a synopsis of what's going on, so that we can go out there and start doing our own research, so that you don't take their word for it at all. Go out there and start doing your own research.
Along those lines, Melody, if I can, go to www.drcarley.com, drcarley.com. You can find my contact information there. There's a link at the top of her page. Any of this documentation that anybody wants, 90% of this comes from the government. I will be happy to provide it.
And what was the name of the book that you were talking about, the person from Oregon writing?
Joe Spener. I've got, I think, 5 copies of his book left, if anybody wants one. It is called Rockefeller Regionalism, The Shadow Behind Oregon's LCDC.
And LCDC means?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that. It's just another one of those memory fades. I can't bring it to my head right now.
Well, I was wondering also when he makes that reference there, if it has any relationship to the Houlihan Plan, or if you're familiar with any of that.
Say that again?
The Houlihan Plan came out of the, I don't know if it came in the 30s to 50s, somewhere in there.
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, Bernadine Smith has a huge amount of documentation that gets into the regionalization and how it's, creeped into the cities and counties and states and that sort. That ties in, I will bet you, with what that author is speaking of.
Well, I just want to mention, because I know we're running out of time, the layers to the onion are tremendous. What I tell everybody when I do shows is, don't believe anything I say. Check it out for yourself, folks. Patrick's information is on my site. I strongly encourage you get his book. You can order Joe Spener's book as well. Read everything on my site. That'll take you a few weeks. Check it out for yourself, because this is such evil that you cannot even comprehend it. Prove me wrong, folks. I would love for somebody to prove me wrong. I've had a $10,000 reward on my website for over 3 years for anybody to prove anything I say is wrong. Prove me wrong.
Don't say just
believe
anything.
Believe my profession is not corrupt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You mean just anything or?
Anything.
Okay, all right.
Prove anything I say is wrong, please. Somebody, because
okay.
Then I can, have a vacation and know that I'm just delusional.
Okay, I want to again thank you guys for coming on, and you've just, you stayed up way late and just given us a great amount of information, and keep up the good work.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Melody.
Okay.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to share it with the world.
Okay,
and please, people, tell people about the archives of this show. We each must spread the word, because there was more of us than there is of them. And like I said, the cockroaches are going to be heading for the rocks. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it happen.
Okay.
Thanks
a
lot, Melody.
And thank you, Dr. Carley and Patrick.